If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Luke chapter number 10. While you're turning there, let me just say thank you so much for each and every one of you that were praying for me and our family as we were traveling all the way to San Diego. And if I yawn a couple times during the message, it's because I'm still on San Diego time. They are 2 hours behind us, and every week, every Sunday, I was trying to get up early while I was over there to tune in. And I want to say thank you to Pastor John for the last 3 weeks of messages. They were a blessing, at least to me, as I was watching through the live stream. And yet it was all the other days that really threw me off. You know, Sunday I was getting up early, but the other days I wasn't. And we flew back on Tuesday this past week, and it was crazy to me. I thought I was waking up like at 6:30, and then I'd look at my phone, and it was 9:30, and I was like, "Oh, I got to go to work." It was quite the week for me on the time adjustment. So, as I said, if I yawn, you know why? It's because I'm still back in San Diego time. But hopefully, I won't preach as long as San Diego time. All right, we're gonna try to keep it short this morning and to the point as we start a brand new series. And we're going to start in Luke chapter number 10. And our series is going to be the life of a disciple. And we're going to start Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 38. We're going to read from verse 38 all the way to the end. And notice what it says. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou now care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Have you ever watched a documentary on someone, maybe like on Netflix or something like that? Whether I think I just saw a trailer for one of the tennis players called, his name is Federer. And the documentary just kind of goes through the person's life. And the filmmaker, the one that is filming and producing this documentary, is usually trying to give you, as the audience, the feeling of what it feels like to be in that person's shoes, what their life is like. And, you know, when it comes to the Christian life, we must ask ourselves, as even a filmmaker would ask about someone else, what's it like to be you? We have to ask ourselves as a Christian, what is it like to be a Christian? What is the life of a Christian like? I don't know how many of y'all remember right after COVID happened during the month of March that year of 2020, the NBA was really the first league to get canceled, and then it seemed like it was just a domino effect after that, if you remember. And something happened on Netflix that month that came out, which was a documentary on the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan. It was called The Last Dance. I don't know how many got to see it, but it was a 10-part series, and every part had to do with that year, the team. And of course, most of the episodes were about Michael Jordan. And one of the things that struck me as I was watching, Michael Jordan's my favorite basketball player. He is the greatest basketball player to ever play. That is fact, not opinion. I remember what struck me as I was watching the documentary was just seeing his day-to-day life. I think on most of the documentary, he's either in a hotel room or in a gymnasium. You don't really see him at the store. You don't really see him walking, you know, going to a theme park or anything like that. I mean, most of his day was either in the hotel room or practicing basketball. It wasn't really like a normal day. It was really hard to identify with him. You can see him and you can say, wow, that's, you know, you see what he does on the basketball court. You see his fame, you see his wealth, and you go, man, it might be nice to be like him. But then you watch the documentary and I just remember thinking, I'd never want to be that guy. I mean, you can't really go out. You have no normal life. It's just not something I would want to live every day. Now, when you get to Luke chapter 10, Luke shares a story about Jesus visiting the home of Martha and Mary. And in this regular day, what is highlighted isn't really Jesus in this passage, though, of course, he is the center of the passage. What is highlighted here is the life of Martha and Mary. It gives a brief just look into what their day was like and what they did on that day. Martha, being the older sister, was the one that was going to be hosting Jesus. It doesn't really tell us where she met Jesus, whether he was at the marketplace or whether he had been just walking down through the village and she just saw him. But it just says when he got to the village, and we know that in John chapter 11, it tells us the name of the village. It was Bethany. And as he's going through Bethany, Martha sees him and she says, listen, I want you to stay at our house. I want to host you. And Jesus, by this time, it was later in his ministry, he already knew Martha and Mary. They had already made a decision to believe in Jesus, to follow Jesus. They were disciples of Jesus. And so when he's going to their house, it wasn't the first time he had been there. It wasn't the only time he had been there. But this is one of the times that he goes and he visits. And as Martha is hosting and preparing a great meal, trying to have an extravagant experience for Jesus, we see Mary going and sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him. After giving that brief clip, highlight of what happened, it concludes with Martha talking with Jesus and then Jesus replying and saying something to Martha that's important, and then it ends. And that's the whole snippet there of Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. But that passage teaches us a lot about day-to-day life. It really teaches us a lot about really the Christian life. It talks about and shares and teaches us that the life of a disciple has a priority, one big priority. If I could say it this way, I didn't put it in your notes, but you can write it in there somewhere. The life of a disciple of Jesus ought to have as its priority spending time with Jesus. This passage has really that main message, that the priority in the life of a disciple is to spend time with Jesus. You know that when we spend time with Jesus, we can learn and grow in our life. The secret to spiritual growth isn't doing more, it's spending time with Jesus. It's not memorizing more, it's spending time with Jesus. So this morning I want to share with you three contrasting truths between the life of Martha and the life of Mary that we see in this passage. Three contrasting truths. We're going to look at what Martha did in her life and what Mary did in her life, and see the difference and the importance that Jesus highlighted in the life of one of them. Now, I want to highlight one more time and say this before we get into the notes. The priority in the life of a disciple is to spend time with Jesus. More than anything, spend time with Jesus. Now, if we're going to do that as a disciple, how do we do that? How did Mary do that? I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, first of all, that if we're going to spend time with Jesus, we have to focus on him and not on us. We have to focus on him and not on us. In verse 38, the story starts with Jesus getting to the village and Martha seeing Jesus and telling him, I want you to come. So we see Martha, she's excited and eager to host Jesus. Being a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ for quite some time, she's looking forward to having Jesus eat with her, be in her home, and be able to host him at her house. But what you notice in verse number 40, that instead of spending time with Jesus there at her house, her focus, becomes her. You know, one of the things that takes away our time with Jesus is not having our focus on him, and instead having our focus on us. You know, when we have our focus on us, we begin to believe that everything is about us. When we get to a point in life where our focus is only about me, then we think everything in life is about me. My job's about me. My family's about me. My friends are about me. It's all about me. You know, I want us to understand this morning as we read this, Martha had the greatest intentions in what she was doing. She wanted to host Jesus in her home. She wanted to serve Jesus. She wanted to make sure that she had a great meal prepared for Jesus. She wanted an extravagant experience for Jesus. She wanted to make sure Jesus, hey, don't forget that when you come to my house, Martha's house, you have a good time. And we treat you right. And we honor you. And we give you all that you need. She wanted to make sure she was doing everything that she could for Jesus. Had great intentions in that. But in the process of wanting to do something great for Jesus, she didn't realize that it slowly became about her. Notice how many times Martha focuses on herself while she's doing this great thing for Jesus. Notice in verse number 40, it says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said," notice what she says, "Lord, dost thou now care that my sister," right? So first she's saying my there, my. She said, "My sister hath left me to serve alone. I'm now alone." And then notice what she says. "Bid her therefore that she help me." So Martha's focus, she says, "Jesus, I'm gonna receive you into my home." But then her focus in that service was really her. "Nobody's helping me. I'm the only one doing anything. Somebody ought to have somebody else come and help me and serve and do what I want to do." Suddenly in her life, three times she's referring to herself. And we must be careful in our lives to not allow our selfish desires to take the place of spending time with Jesus. When we get to focus on ourselves, then our desires begin to be on ourselves and what we want. We come to church, we serve, but only with ourselves in mind and not Jesus. Our Christian life becomes all about what we are doing and not really about what Jesus is doing. Because if you'll notice in verse 39, Jesus was doing something. Martha is preparing the meal. Martha is trying to serve, but Jesus is also doing something. Something she's not even noticing. We notice that Mary noticed it. She had a sister called Mary, verse 39 says, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Jesus is doing something. He's sharing his word. But Martha is too busy. Can I say in your life, you ought to be careful to not let your busyness for God take the place of spending time with God. Martha allowed her work and her ministry to become so important in her life that it was even more important than just listening to what Jesus had to say. It was more important than taking notice of what Jesus was actually doing. She wanted to make sure that people noticed what she was doing. Even in John chapter 6, Jesus had to share with some of his disciples, don't labor for yourself, for the meat, for what you desire, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. What is the meat that endureth unto everlasting life? It's the word of God. It's Jesus himself. We see Martha focusing on herself, not on Jesus. It became all about her. And then notice, as a result of that, she began to look to do her own will. And that's what happens to us. The reason that we don't spend time with Jesus the focus is on us, and we think it's all about us, and then we look to do our own will. It was all the way to the point where now, notice this in verse 40, Martha is telling Jesus what to do. Now, in the life of a disciple, it should be, the proper thing ought to be, that we follow what Jesus teaches and commands. That we are followers of Jesus, not that Jesus is followers of us. But when we stop spending time with him, and we make our life all about us, we find ourselves wanting to do our will to the point we're telling God what we think he should do. No longer are they prayer requests, they're prayer demands. And then when Jesus doesn't do what we demanded, we go, what's wrong with him? He's not listening. He's ruining my whole plan. Notice that Martha wasn't asking Jesus, hey, do you need anything? Jesus, can I get something for you? Hey, I see. Maybe let me just see what he's talking about. Nothing like that. You know, if we're to have the priority of spending time with Jesus, then we need to focus on him and not on us. Focus on him. Focusing on him will drive us to focus on what he wants, not what we want. Focusing on us drives us to do what we want, not what he wants. Kind of reminds me of Jonah. I put it in your notes. Remember the prophet Jonah? Jonah was the prophet that got swallowed by the whale, and God miraculously liberated him from the belly of the whale, and he goes to the city of Nineveh, and he preaches repentance, and the people actually repent. You know, in chapter 4, notice what, after all that happens, notice what Jonah says to God in chapter 4. Put in your notes. This change of plans, this is from the New Living Translation, this change of plans greatly upset Jonah because now God wasn't going to destroy Nineveh because they repented. That change of plans of what God was going to do upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to angry, to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. You know, Jonah was upset. Why? My plan's not getting done. These people deserve that. I cannot believe that they're getting away with what they're doing. Because he was more concerned about him. Jonah fell into this. And it's really easy, by the way, for myself to be up here on a platform and judge Jonah. But you know what? If I'm honest, there are many times in my life where I'm exactly like Jonah. The focus becomes me instead of God. And usually the source of that, the reason it gets to that in my life is because I'm not spending time with Jesus. My life has turned into doing instead of just spending time with Jesus. And I say in the life of you as a disciple of Jesus, your priority is to spend time with him. How am I going to do that? Focus on him, not on you. Number two, don't allow yourself to get distracted. At the beginning of verse number 40, we see that the scripture says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. The word here, cumbered, is the Greek word parasopao, and it means to be driven about mentally, to be distracted mentally, be overoccupied, too busy about a thing. In other words, Martha allowed other things around her to take the place of spending time with Jesus. She was distracted by everything around her. When Mary was there listening to Jesus, Martha was distracted. Here's how I imagine it, because Luke doesn't really go into detail, but I imagine that Martha was probably in the kitchen a little while, and then she'd come back and see if Jesus was still talking. I don't know if they didn't have wristwatches, but if she would have had one, she probably would have looked and said, okay, this preacher's going long. Okay, let me go back to the kitchen and start getting things ready and then coming back. She's probably looking to see who else is going to eat. How much do you think they're going to eat? Mary hasn't eaten for 3 hours. I'm sure she's going to want a lot of slices of this meal that I'm making. And she's getting distracted. Yes, Jesus is talking, but she's not really engaged. She's cumbered about much serving. She's doing a lot, but not accomplishing a lot. How could she avoid that? What was the difference between Mary and Martha in this? I want you to notice in your notes, making time to sit. The way that you don't allow yourself to get distracted by a lot of things is making time to sit with Jesus. Mary was doing what Martha should have done. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, this expression is an expression that's used mainly because of the way that houses were made and built at that time. I think I have a picture of this, but there's a thing called a divan, and you can see around the living room, it's like a little bench, and it sits a little bit higher, right? And it goes around the room, and many of the houses in Jesus' day would have something like this. And so when a teacher would come in, he would actually go and sit down, and those that were listening would sit right there in the middle area, right there on the rug, on the floor. And that's why the expression, they were sitting at his feet, comes from. It's not literally just saying that he was at their feet or that they were at literally his feet, but they were around him to listen to him. We see this, by the way, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 35, when Jesus healed the man that had all these demons. The people rushed out. It says, I put this in your notes, they rushed out to see what happened, and they gathered around Jesus, and they saw that the man who had been freed from the demons, he was sitting at Jesus' feet. Doesn't mean that he was literally at his feet. It just means that he was there listening. And so we see, first of all, that Mary takes time to just sit. It's an expression of wanting to come and make time to be around someone. Now, this would be something that you would intentionally have to do. Nobody accidentally was at someone's feet to listen or to sit. You had to make time. That's why in verse number 42, when Jesus is giving his response to Martha, he says, Mary hath chosen the good part. Making time to sit. Can I say, if you're going to spend time with Jesus as a disciple, you're going to have to make time to sit. Let me ask you something. Is there a place where you get alone with God in your home? Or maybe a place at work? Maybe in the lunchroom? Is there a place where you go just to sit and listen? Now, one of the things that we do when we come to church and we come to services like we do this morning is to come and sit. And the reason that we're sitting here this morning is to hear. Not from me. Listen, I have really nothing to say. But God has a lot to say. That's why usually when we're singing the last song, I'm over here and I'm praying, God, would you put your words in my mouth so that what I say would touch the heart of your people? Because I have nothing good to say. Anything good that I have to say is because it's God's words, not mine. It's his ideas, not mine. But if you're going to receive that first, you got to get there to sit. That's why it's important. Church attendance is important. But you know what's just as important as church attendance? Monday morning and Tuesday morning attendance with God. Get into the place where you can just stop and sit with him. Because you see, when you stop and sit, it allows you to block out those distractions. Notice that Mary took time to sit, but then she also took time to listen. The Bible says that she heard him. The Greek word here is akouo, and it means to hear something, to perceive by the ear what is announced with the intention of learning. To learn a thing when it comes to your ear. That's what akouo means. In other words, Mary picked up a spot where Jesus was speaking. She got to the place where Jesus was speaking. Martha was going in and out of the kitchen, going here and there because she was distracted. She was cumbered, distracted by much serving. But Mary took a place where she could hear, where she could sit, and didn't just listen. She wanted to learn. In other words, Mary spent time so she might grow in her spiritual life. She wasn't distracted by anything around her. She was focused. Now, you know this as well as I do. We live in a really busy world. We have work, family, vacations, extracurriculars, projects, emails, text messages, Facebook news, information, a million other things that I could name. And many times, those things, they're not bad in and of themselves. It's not bad to have an email. It's not bad to have a text message. It's not bad to have a television. But if you're not careful, those things can distract you from spending time. It can distract you from living a life of a disciple. Because in the life of a disciple, the priority is spending time with Jesus. How do I do that? Focusing on him, not on me. Secondly, not allowing the distractions to take away from my learning, from my growing. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 34 and 35, it says, joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home, for whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. Proverbs 8 is talking about wisdom, and the source of all wisdom is the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that Mary took a place to sit, and she got focused, and she just wanted to spend time with Jesus and grow and listen. Let me ask you something this morning. This past week, what did you learn from spending time with Jesus? Did you learn anything? Did you read anything of his word? You know, so many times we want to grow in our spiritual life and we want to do something great for God, but let me just say that all starts with time with him first. You know what? What Martha was doing wasn't morally wrong. In fact, it was good to host people. It wasn't bad to have Jesus in your home. It was a good thing to receive Jesus into your home. She's not doing bad things, but she's leaving off the best things in her life. She's settling for good instead of for what is best. And so many times in our lives, as disciples, what we begin to project is a lot of serving, but not a lot of growing. And even as disciples of Jesus, we can be selfish and distracted. And suddenly our life doesn't reflect really what we ought to be. I want you to notice one last thing this morning, and that is to remember the one. If we're going to spend time with Jesus, we've got to remember the one thing. I think it's amazing that Jesus tells Martha when she's complaining and telling Jesus what he needs to do, that Jesus answers to her, one thing is needful. There was one needful thing that Mary was doing, and that was sitting and listening, learning and growing, spending time, in other words, with Jesus. It was the good part. Now notice what that does for you and me. Well, what happens when we spend time with Jesus, when we remember the one thing? Well, first of all, it eliminates mental distractions. Jesus told Martha there in verse 41, thou art careful and troubled about many things. By the way, when he says Martha, Martha, anytime you see in Scripture something double, it's because it's a expression of compassion and love. Jesus would do this often. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that killeth the prophets, how I, as a hen gathers her chicks, I would have gathered you. When he's saying this, he's not getting on to Martha. He's not trying to, you know, put her on blast. Martha, Martha. He's not saying that. Honestly, I imagine that he probably took her by the hand. Usually, I don't know about you, but I do this at least with my kids, right? When they're distracted by a lot of things. You ever done that? You ever say, son, you just grab by his hand. You don't need to yank him. You don't need to do anything. You just kind of touch his shoulder or touch his hand and say, son, calm down. Slow down. I imagine Jesus, as he grabs her hand, saying, Martha, Martha. Man, you're careful and troubled about a lot of things. That word careful and the word troubled, both those Greek words have to do with a mental anxiety and a mental troubledness. The distractions in her life were making her anxious. It was robbing her of her peace. When we spend time with Jesus, that goes away. Problems don't go away. Trouble doesn't go away, but the mental distress and the mental anxiety goes away. Martha was there so worried about everything. Jesus said, no, calm. Now, let me just say that when we're dealing with anxiety, when we're dealing with troubles, our natural response is to do. Martha was doing what we all do when we're facing anxiety and trouble. We're trying to build security, right? If I have financial trouble, what do I try to do? I got to make more money. I got to work harder. I got to work more hours, because if I have more money, then I won't be so worried all the time. You know what happens? Then we make more money and then we have twice the worry. Now I have so much money, I hope I don't lose it. Money doesn't take away of the mental distraction. Many times we're troubled, that's what we look for, security. And where do we find that security? In what we're trying to do. Whether it's money or whether it's anything else, possessions, success. If I just get promoted, then my job will be better. Then you get promoted and you go, I really hate this job. I want us to understand, as disciples of Jesus, the reason it's so important to spend time with him is because when we remember that one thing of just spending time with him, it eliminates a lot of the anxiety in our life. Notice, secondly, when we remember that one thing of spending time with him, it brings joy. The word here in the Greek is agathos, that one, look in verse 42, that good part. It means happy and joyful and beneficial. Jesus told Martha, Martha, listen, you're going everywhere. You're stressed out. And the one thing that you need to do is what Mary's doing. And that's spend time with me. That is the part you ought to choose, because that part that you choose is the good part, the joyful part, the part that is beneficial to your life. I don't know if I can stress this enough. Jesus said the one thing needful. That one thing that was needful was just spending time with him. Wasn't teaching a class. Wasn't giving your tithe. He didn't say church attendance. All those things are good, but they weren't needful. The one needful thing for Martha was just spend time with him. The one needful thing you and I have as disciples that our life ought to reflect as disciples is spending time with Jesus. Pastor John preached the first week, 3 weeks ago in the book of Acts. You know, it was the one characteristic that a lot of people that came to Jesus said about the disciples, and even people that didn't like the disciples, they had to say this. It says, and you can read it in the scripture, they took note that they had been with Jesus. Wasn't there great success, business success, wealth? Wasn't there great oratory skills? The one thing that people noticed about the disciples, they had taken time with Jesus. That's why I love what the psalmist said, Psalm 16, verse 5 and 6. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, the cup of my blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. This morning, what does the life of a disciple look like? It begins with spending time with Jesus. How do we do this? We do this by focusing on him, not on us. We do this by not allowing the distractions of this world to take us away from spending time with him. We do this by remembering the one thing, that that's our priority. This morning, that's your priority. There's one thing that you need to get done this week, is just spend time with Jesus. It's the most important thing you can do this week. Spend time with him. I want to challenge us this morning. I want to challenge you. Find a place in your home where you can just sit, where you can begin to just read and pray. Find a place where all the noise around you is put on mute and silent. Kind of like what you do with the AirPods Pros, right? You just noise canceling. Cancel the distractions. And just remember, this is what I need to do. Spend time with Jesus. That's the life of a disciple. It starts there. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your many blessings. Thank you, Father, for the life of Martha and Mary. Thank you for the great lesson in this passage of what is needful for us, your disciples. Father, I pray that this morning as we meditate upon what we have been challenged by in your word, we'd be able to say that our decision this morning is to spend more time with you. To get in that quiet place. To get the distractions out of our minds. Father, to not look at the Christian life just as going to church and serving in a ministry at church, but it's more than that. That it's just spending time with you. Oh, Father, I pray that that would always be the one thing in our minds that is most needful for us. I pray that you would work in our hearts, work in our lives throughout this week to truly make that a reality in our life of just spending time with you. As the piano plays, perhaps you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, you know what? That's something that I've just been neglecting as of late. It's not that I've never done it. It's just that it's been something that I've been neglecting. I haven't stopped coming to church. I haven't stopped serving. But just one thing that I've really neglected is just spending time with God. But this week, that's what I want to do. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I want to spend time with God alone this week. Pray for me. Is anyone like that? Just raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. God bless you. I see that. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you all around the auditorium. Amen. Father, this morning you saw our hands, but you also saw our hearts. And Father, I pray and ask that you would help us in this week to not forget what is the main thing, the needful thing, the good thing. And that is spending time with you. Oh, Father, may this be a week of learning and growing, a week of joy and blessing, in which we just truly get alone with you, in which we allow you to speak to our hearts, and we call unto you. May this week be identified by that characteristic in our life. Be with us and fill us with your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.